You hear Jesus in the gospel calling disciples, Andrew and Simon, and James and John. And this probably took place, this was early, if you read the gospels, it's really early in Jesus' public ministry, maybe about November of 30 AD. And again, Jesus is along the sea, walking along the Sea of Galilee. That's the large body of water in the northern part of Israel. And after Jesus lived in Nazareth, he then moves eventually to Capernaum, which is a town on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he stayed with Peter. So Jesus, he calls his disciples, as we heard. But he would have spent a lot of time in this area, the Sea of Galilee, over the next years before he goes to his death in Jerusalem. So he calls these disciples, and sometimes, you know, we might think, well, you know, he kind of was really familiar with them, and, you know, he calls them as to be apostles shortly thereafter. Actually, if you read the Gospels, it seems like maybe a year later, that's when Jesus actually chooses his 12 apostles. So he's kind of got to get to know and have them, probably more so because Jesus has got more so get his followers to come to know him in a greater way. It's probably more the likely answer that they have to get to know Jesus. And that's in part what Jesus, he asked them. He says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So, you know, I was kind of reading, I'm like, what exactly does come follow me actually mean? Is there an undercurrent? Because, you know, we're called, all of us are called to be his disciples and we're come to follow him. Do we know what following Jesus really means? I said, well, it's kind of might be something that was kind of like aloof. You know, it's like, what does it actually mean to follow after Jesus? Well, if you look at other translations, and again, there's a number of translations in Scripture, the Catholic RSV, the Catholic NAB, and then, of course, there's all kinds of other translations. But if you look at the various translations, come after me, follow me, come after me, as we heard in today's Gospel, it's also follow me in another translation, follow after me, come ye after me, come with me. So it's, what is that? What is follow? What is it? It seems like the essence is to follow after Jesus. But what does that mean, to follow him? Well, for them, and certainly for us, in a different way, in a sense, to be with Jesus, to learn from him, to grow with him, to understand how he, what he says, and to observe what he's doing. So that's what the disciples would have done. They would have spent a lot of time with Jesus. So just think about it. The first element is Jesus, you know, he had, just like you and I mean, he had to get up and eat. He prayed, as we know. He worked. Now, when he was in Nazareth, he worked more manual labor. It seems like when he's out in Galilee and teaching, he's doing more teaching and preaching. But it seems like mostly he was doing preaching and teaching, but that's work. So, you know, he had to do all these things that we do. So his apostles and disciples would have been there looking at that, seeing him. You know, especially Peter, because Peter, he lived with Peter. So Peter would have got, you know, certainly I'm not sure how many other apostles and disciples lived with Peter. They had, you know, they were from, well, most of the apostles were from that area. So maybe they were with Jesus during the day and then went back to their homes. But anyway, Peter for certainly would have been with Jesus and would have saw, you know, just how he lived. So it's something for us really in our lives to look at. You know, how do we make Jesus present in our daily lives? You know, when we're at work, or, you know, when we get up, you know, make sure we offer our day to the Lord. Or we think about Jesus throughout the day, you know, and certainly when we're struggling with something, we pray to the Lord, you know, Jesus, Lord Jesus, help me. Do we have that presence? Do we have that sense of Jesus with us? You know, Emmanuel, God with us. Do we have that sense throughout our day? That's important. to have that? Because are we being attentive throughout the day? Are we listening? Jesus ultimately certainly is our teacher. So are we listening? Are we paying attention? Are we seeing how the Lord is working in our daily lives? To follow him, follow his guidance, follow his inspirations and the power of the Spirit in our lives. Another thing as being a follower and following after Jesus is his disciples would have learned. He would have taught them. If you read the Gospels, shortly after the Gospel we heard today, Jesus goes to nearby Capernaum. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. If you read Matthew's Gospels in chapter 5, shortly after what we heard today, again. And there he talks about a number of things, Jesus does. And certainly the Beatitudes he brings up. But in general, for us, to learn and to grow in Jesus, what he taught, that's why the Gospels are so prominent, certainly at Mass, but we're called to study the Gospels ourselves. What did Jesus actually teach? This is one of the things I try to focus on the Gospels, because I think obviously Jesus can teach us so much. And there's various angles and different things you can see that he's trying to show us and teach us. So, yeah, I try to focus on that, because I think obviously if we grow in our holiness, then we become more, we see more clearly the things of the world and whether they're good or bad. We have a better idea. We can discern more truthfully what is good and what is bad and make proper and good decisions going forward in our lives. So Jesus touched upon his teaching a little bit. The Beatitudes, the poor in spirit. We're called to be poor in spirit, to be humble, to have humility. Realizing that we need God. We can't do things on our own. Every good thing comes from God, so realize that. And know that we have our struggles, we have our weaknesses. Others have their struggles and their weaknesses. When we acknowledge that, it helps us really to show compassion, be empathetic with others. Jesus was that in spades. He was like, he just was so compassionate. He cared for people. He challenged them, certainly. Another beatitude is, be meek. Now, Jesus, at one point we heard, he was meek and humble of heart. The scripture says that. And, of course, meekness is not responding when someone gets angry at us and kind of lashes out at us. It's to be able to control our anger in a good way. Instead of responding back in anger, we step back and maybe diffuse the situation and say, why are you coming across so angry? Why are you angry? Why are you upset? We kind of can diffuse it instead of slashing back at the other person, get angry and says, start a fight. So to have that meekness, remember Jesus on the cross. Here are the creatures he created, human persons. They were jeering at him. If you're the God, come down from that cross. He was getting jeered at. And what does Jesus say? He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So be meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Life is challenging. There's sad things that happen in our lives. Whether it be a death or you're just a disappointment in a loved one who's maybe fallen away from the church. To have that sorrow, a genuine sorrow, but then not get caught up in that sorrow from this perspective, to have hope in the Lord. There's always called to be hope. We're not made for this earth. We're made for the next. Although the earth is going to be the new earth, so that we want to look forward to that. This world is passing away. We're made for the next. And to have that hope. Pure of heart. Jesus talks about having purity of heart. So what is, what's our intentions? When we are doing various things, what is our intention? Sometimes, we approach somebody, we really care about them, and, we say something, a truth. We're really quite genuine in our love for that person. We have the right intention, but they lash back. Well, they call us, you know, you don't really like me, or you hate me, or whatever. You know, that's hate speech, or whatever it might be, you know. No, we really have a genuine love of them. Our intention is pure and good. Sometimes we don't necessarily maybe handle situations maybe as best as we could, but our intention, you know, what's our intention? The Lord sees that, and the Lord works with that. You know, we might have had a situation where it's like it kind of was felt uncomfortable or whatever, but the Lord works in that. That's that purity of heart. Now, that's partly being a peacemaker, another beatitude, peacemaker. You know, bringing the peace of Christ. You know, it's not peace, you know, like everybody gets along. Jesus didn't come to bring that kind of peace. He came to bring his peace, the peace of knowing we're doing God's will, we're doing that which is good. Just at Mass, you know, right before we receive the Eucharist, just pay attention to how many times that I, and you say this too, offer peace. You know, have the peace of Christ come to us. Even the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, you take away the sins, will have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins, will have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins, will grant us peace. Peace, the peace of Christ. And, you know, lastly, certainly one of the Beatitudes is, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. You know, as Christians, as Catholics, we're going to be persecuted for our faith. We can expect it. We can expect that. People are going to criticize us and these other things. So Jesus says, blessed are you if they do that. So, and you, if you continue reading, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, all kinds of other things Jesus teaches us. So it's important for us really to learn, to read Scripture. You know, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? What does he say? What does he teach? And then obviously, you know, Jesus, he just didn't teach. He actually lived it. Look at what he did. You know, he would heal those who were sick. You know, those who were blind and, you know, those other ailments. He was a healer. He showed mercy. You know, we're called to be merciful. He showed mercy. He forgave people of their sins. You know, certainly the woman who was caught in adultery, he says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Or he didn't say, well, that's okay. Go and sin more. He said, no, go and sin no more. That's the thing. You know, we call people to not no longer sin. You know, we're merciful. But then we challenge them, hey, sin no more. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to sin no more. I mean, that's what happens with sin. We can get sort of habitual in it. But Jesus, he's merciful. And he challenges certainly the woman, but also, you know, he was challenging the leaders, certainly. It's like, hey, you guys got to be better leaders. And he challenges them. He didn't, you know, they ended up killing him for it. And they didn't like what he was saying. You know, so Jesus in his actions, he not only taught, but he actually lived it. So that's for us to look at that. And that's why we have to, you know, Scripture, reading the Gospels, certainly. What does the Lord say? What are we called to do in our lives? And certainly, you know, I try to expand on this, practical examples in our own lives, you know, giving homilies. They are online, so if you want to listen to them. But also, there's other ways that we're called to really grow in our faith. You know, obviously here at church, we offer various things coming up. During Lent, we're going to have small groups, which is going to be an opportunity. It's kind of a different format, but it's kind of a group where you're focused on, you know, what was your experience with the Lord in the last week? There's going to be some teaching. We're going to try to focus on the Eucharist this Lent. But it's an opportunity to come together and just, like, grow in our faith. I mean, that's one of the things about the disciples, and they were with Jesus. They were learning from the Master. So an opportunity for us as a parish coming up here. So just for us really to follow after the Lord, you know, Lord, help me to learn about how I'm called to live out my life, how I'm following you in my life, and then help me to be made into someone who then can draw others to yourself. No, Jesus wants to save us, but then he wants us also, through us, his instruments, to help draw others to himself, to save others. Obviously, Jesus is our Savior, but he uses us as instruments to bring people to himself.